just heavy on my heart. It's been a very difficult day, not only for me, but many other people, with some unexpected emergencies. And I'm just aware right now, I just want to take a moment where we collectively as church, when church gathers, she prays for those who are in need. And there are two whose needs are very, very pressing right now. Pressing medical needs. A mother, 6 months pregnant, suffering an aneurysm early this morning, undergoing serious surgery, and just entrust her and the child to your mercy, Lord Jesus, and for medical experts to just use well gifts that you have given them for your greater glory and honor and for her and the child's well-being. And for another person more recently, undergoing also emergency surgery. Just pray for your healing power. We collectively pray. As church, we do that. And we invoke your holy name, Jesus, and we just ask that healing be awarded according to your divine will. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I want to tell you, when I'm on the receiving end of it, I want the church to gather and I want the church to be praying. That's what we do. That's what we do. And there's a power that's evoked with that. God will take care of the calculus. But on our part, we implore his mercy when it's needed. And we give voice when others maybe aren't able to give voice. That's what we do. That's what church does. The baptism of the Lord is what the church places before us as a feast. It's the culmination of the Christmas season from the church's point of view. I realize the culture has long since moved on from Christmas, but this is the culminating event of Christmas from our vantage point as believers. And I want to ask, where are the eighth graders? Eighth graders, let me see some hands. Let me see some hands. Okay? Confirmation names. What do we have? Confirmation names. St. Bernadette. Boy, that's a winner. Yeah, real loud. St. Michael, that's strong. St. Ignatius, that's strong. So far, you're like 3 for 3 so far. As far as I'm concerned, we're like 3 favorites. Huh? St. Arthur. Boy, I want to learn more about St. Arthur. I don't know a lot about him, but I'm certain that he's a really impressive saint because you picked him, right? I see another hand in the back. What's another one? St. Anthony? Yeah, there's a lot of invocation of St. Anthony among this group. I'll tell you that, at least the old ones. Right. We got another one over here. Where? Oh, yeah. Hi. What's your saint? St. Teresa. Yeah, that's a good one. It's a favorite. Well, those are some of them here. Did anybody? I didn't hear St. Augustine. And there are so many different holy ones to choose from. It's really great. Augustine, if you're Protestant, you say Augustine. But if you're Catholic, you say Augustine. And he was one of the saints a long time ago. And among his contributions to the church were lots and lots and lots of writings. He's a really smart person that the Lord used to help us understand the beauty of the church. And he wrote on baptism. In fact, he wrote a lot of things like that. In fact, the work is called On Baptism. Hardly a creative title. I guess he gets like a C+ for the title, but the content is A+. And in it, Augustine uses an image, a metaphor, an analogy of what happens with baptism. I've never forgotten this. I first read this, I don't know, first read it, probably the only time I read this treatise was in the seminary, and he likened what happens at baptism to Roman soldiers who received a tattoo identifying them as soldiers. And St. Augustine's point is, baptism is no mere social event, as joyful as it may be to celebrate. Something happens to the recipient. The one who is baptized is changed. Is changed. Might look the same. If it's an infant, might smell the same. But something is qualitatively different. It's like a tattoo that's the Roman soldier would have had applied to them for their own marking and identification as soldier, that there is a marking on the recipient of baptism. Now, it's not a tattoo in a visible sense of what we know a tattoo to be, but there's a mark seen by God that when one is baptized, there is a relationship formed with the living God. We heard in the opening prayer, adopted children. Wow, an intimacy with God that this sacrament of baptism offers to us. Forever marked. It's not conditioned upon good behavior or sort of probation. No, Christ dwells within the one who is baptized. That's God's doing, not ours. And where I want to go with this tonight, not only for our young ones among us, but for those of us who are older too, is there is a power that's within you and within me from the sacrament of baptism. A power. I forget this sometimes. I forget this when, in fact, I had a little bit of a bad moment. I felt really overwhelmed earlier today. There were just a lot of really heavy, serious things. And Sundays are usually busy without anything else happening for me. And I forgot for a moment the power of the living God that dwells within me because it was poured into me at baptism. And it doesn't diminish. It's not like a candle that burns out over time and then there's a power outage. No, this is Christ dwelling within you and dwelling within me. And then the prayer, at least for me, when I become aware of this again, it's not so much, where are you, Lord, out there in the cosmos, but rather, unleash your power within me. It's there from baptism. I did nothing to earn it or to deserve it or to achieve it. It was freely and totally given. It's called grace. And I need that power to be unleashed. I need some confidence in this moment, or I need some clarity in the direction, or I want to have some generosity when I'm really feeling selfish. And I kind of had a selfish moment today. I felt selfish for my time. I did. And the Lord kind of tapped me on the shoulder. It was a kind of a heavy tap. And he reminded me that it's not your life, David. In baptism, you die so to rise, but you rise with me. That the life that you have received through the sacrament that was administered to you, it offers to you a life that is so far beyond what you can even imagine, and you haven't even begun to ask me to unleash my power, my presence within you. Friends, I want you to avail yourselves of that, just as I'm really speaking to myself, and thank you for just courteously overhearing me tonight. But it's there. Christ dwells within. This isn't a concept. It's not a dream. It's as real as that tattoo that is placed on the Roman soldier. Qualitatively different, that the living God marks us with his very presence and power as his own. Pray for that power to lead, to guide, to heal, to restore, to soften, whatever that prayer needs to be for you. Pray within for it to be activated. And I'm going to do the same. Anybody going to change to Augustine after I did that? Now, you all got great ones. Absolutely great saints. Yeah, let's stand together. And let's profess our gift of faith. I believe